I don't mean to be a buzzkill, but you're really not probably going to be laughing for the next few minutes, but it's okay if you do. Well, my story, I guess, it begins out in the inlet, about 200 yards offshore, and it was just a beautiful day, so I really wanted to get out of the house. I had the day off. It happened last month, February 2nd, and well, I was just out there enjoying the day, and lost track of time, and I was just listening to music about 200 yards offshore. It was about 3:30, and I had noticed that water was coming into a low spot. I could actually hear it running over my headphones, and I look over, and it was sure enough, you know, pouring into a low spot, and so I just figured the tide was coming in, so I got to get out of here. So I immediately stood up, and I started running back to shore, but I'm climbing over ice, because during the winter, it's just all piled up, and it's just a big mess of ice, and as I'm running to shore, you know, you can't really see what's ahead of you, but I had come up to a river, and the river had already cut me off completely. I ran alongside it, and I'm just, you know, I'm still about 200 yards offshore, and this giant river's in my way, and, you know, sure enough, it was too far to throw, you know, clothes over, because I knew I had to, you know, come up with a plan as soon as possible, and, you know, I had told one person I was going out there, and she unfortunately lived in California, so I ended up looking at my phone, which was on low battery, which was a reason why I almost didn't bring it in the first place, and also you never get service when you're down on the beach with the phone, which is really unusual, but I looked at my phone, it had two bars. I was 200 yards offshore, and somehow it was a miracle, I had two bars. And it was buzzing because it was on low battery. So I gave that friend a call, and I was like, you know, I don't know this whole series in this situation, but if I don't call you in the next hour or so, you know, call Michaela, which is a lady I pay rent to, and I knew she was the right person to call if I was ever in trouble. And so, you know, I hung up. I had figured I'd lived 2 minutes away from the parking lot, which was like a half-mile hike from the shore. So I would jump in, get out, go to my car, warm up, you know, right away. So I took my jacket off, kind of wrapped it around my arm, and jumped in the water, started swimming like one arm, and couldn't feel the bottom. I felt ice hitting my legs, and actually the current pushed me so hard that I started using both hands, and so that's when I lost my jacket. It was too heavy, and it actually put me under, and I had lost my hat, my gloves, and and then I had made it across finally, and I pulled myself up. I still had the jacket with me, but I had to drop it. It was just too heavy and it was too wet. So it had left me with what you're looking at right now, just this long sleeve shirt. And I had started running back to shore, you know, trying to make it again. And then there was another river I had to cross, about the same size. So I jump into that immediately, and I pull myself up, and I look up, and I'm about 100 yards offshore, and everything in front of me is completely underwater. It was, and there was no ice I could jump on anymore. I was just trapped on, actually, it was ice that, you know, it was about a 10 by 10 iceberg, but it was rocky, so I was pretty much stuck in one spot, and the water level had actually come up over the edge, so it was like touching my boots and everything. And I was screaming as loud as I could, you know, and this was really when I started feeling, you know, afraid, you know. I didn't really know the seriousness of the situation until I pulled myself up from that second river and I looked up and I was trapped. And that was when when you're in a situation like that, you have no idea. It's hard to make decisions because you're only thinking, you know, I'm never going to make it out of this. There's this fear just running through your head, you know, all these negative thoughts. So I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do what I've learned over, you know, over the years of watching, you know, survival shows and all this kind of stuff. So I had actually just put that fear aside because I knew I had to survive. but anyway, I was stuck on that one, screaming as loud as I could. No one's there, you know, and water levels up to my knees. I'm stuck in, literally, I'm just stuck in one spot, can't move, I'm just looking like this, the beach is this way to me, but yeah, I'm screaming, there's nothing, looking around, I'm praying, you know, out of nowhere, this 8x8 comes floating by, so I immediately jump in, decide to get wet again, swim over to it, pull myself up, and then that piece gets wedged in between two other icebergs that were stationary, So I ended up just walking on to another one. And that's when I started working out, trying anything to keep my body warm because it was starting to shut down. So I was stuck on 8x8, you know, just kind of, you know, just jogging back and forth. Like literally, like this is what I was doing for like 2 hours or so. And jumping jacks, push-ups, running in place, whole time talking to myself, keeping me aware, you know, trying to distract myself from the reality of the situation. Helicopters flying over, I'm like, you know, waving. It's really low, but it wasn't looking for me. you know, I'm right where the airport is, so you're constantly seeing all this traffic, and you're just out there in the feeling of just being trapped, and, you know, it's just all this hope is just fading. But anyway, that piece of ice actually got popped up and started taking me out further. And, you know, I look back now, and every decision I made led to my survival. If I would have made any smaller or any different decision, I would not have survived. So I really feel like God really took control of my decision making. And anyways, it had popped and it was starting to take me out further to sea, and I didn't know what to do, whether I stay on it and it'll drag me to, you know, the ice field that was way off in the distance. Maybe I'd be able to make it, but I decided not to. I decided just to stay in the same area. So I literally had to hop over, you know, a gap of water to jump onto another iceberg that was stationary because I wanted to stay in the same area. And I ended up staying on that one for the rest of the night. But like I said, I jumped in the water. It was probably around 4:30. And when I got to that last iceberg, I finally decided to just wait the tide out. it had completely come in. It had gotten dark. I was still soaked to the bone. I never took off any of my clothes. I hadn't had anything to eat or drink that entire day. And I know that they say don't eat snow, you know, when you're dehydrated, because it'll actually dehydrate your body even more, trying to melt it down and everything. But it looked really good, so I was just eating it, and it was bad. It was a bad decision. That is very true. I was completely worn out. I was into just crawling up into a ball, you know, tucking my knees under my shirt, my arms, rubbing my chest, doing anything to keep warm. And finally, I look up, you know, the tide, I can see the water just rippling over, so I just figured that, okay, it was my time to actually make it to shore. I couldn't wait out there any longer, so I jump in. Where I was, it was about up to my knees. I fell in one more time. I was able to finally make it to shore, and I was completely dead. I couldn't move. I was just, like, stopped in my tracks, tripping over nothing. My legs were just giving out, and I figured I was just going to crawl into a ball and wait it out and see if anyone would find me in the morning. But I'd finally reached the shore, and 10 minutes later, literally 10 minutes later, I hear voices and everything, and so I start yelling what I could, which was very faint, but they heard it, and they kept telling me to, you know, make noise and everything, and as soon as I saw them, I just collapsed my knees, and I just waited. You know, I was like, I'm done doing all the work. So they actually came to me, and the doctor, I'll skip ahead a little bit, but the doctor had said, when your body temperature reaches about 87 degrees, you fail to recognize a person that you know. And my dad was actually with the rescue team, and I didn't know who he was. He came up to me, was grabbing me, hugging me, you know, and all this, and I looked right at him. I was asking who he was because I was just so confused. But anyway, they had one of the paramedics threw me on their back, and it was about a half-mile hike up through trails. That's why I knew I wasn't going to make it to my Jeep when I got to shore. But anyway, they threw me on a six-wheeler, which I don't remember at all, and they say I blacked out once they put me on their shoulder. And I made it up to the hospital. When I finally got to the hospital, they had already threw my clothes off, threw jackets and gloves on. They had taken my temperature, and it was at 91 degrees, and my blood sugar level was down to 30. Which I think is like normally like 70 or somewhere around that area, but yeah, they they took my temperature like every hour and a half. And the second time he took my temperature after being 91, he said that they were looking for 92, 93, just a steady incline. And he actually took it; it was at 96. So and then actually an hour and a half later, he took it again; it was at 98. And then again an hour and a half later, and it was at 101. They had actually heating me up too fast, so so they took the IVs out and they took some blankets off, and they just kind of, you know, just let me, you know, do my thing, and I was able to make it out about 7 o'clock on Thursday the next morning. A lot of people ask me still if I have any trauma from it. I do have to say, I do have a little bit. It's just from the screaming and yelling. It's from at night, sometimes it gets real quiet and it's hard to fall asleep because I can still hear that echo in my head. It was just, it's really, really a blessing to actually take a hot shower because I was actually out there and I was just trying to imagine warm places, somewhere I want to be right now, you know, and one of the places was my shower. So the next day, I just stood in my shower for like an hour, just standing there. And I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm here. You know, I'm so blessed to be here. It's such a good, you know, good story to tell people and warn them and everything like that about the stupid things you do in your life. But as, you know, I'm a kid, so I do feel like I don't have to fear anything. But, yeah, that's pretty much the story.